All right, good singing. That's good. Good stuff. Let's see. Well, I changed the sermon for tonight about three times, so I'm not going to change it again. It's what it is. Proverbs. Proverbs. This weekend we have a missionary coming in from, well, he's been in the States. He's from Ukraine. Been there 20 years, so something like that. And he'll be coming in, and I think I told you guys to teach children's church and do Sunday school. You guys are, y'all can send all the kids in here if y'all want to and come in here and listen and all that. And then the teens, if you guys want to be in Sunday school, y'all can do that. Because he's going to be doing all three services, but I'm really interested to hear. I know Brother Chris has been on the phone and texting, and he made a gospel video last night, I think, and then it's been busy. And so anyhow, they're coming in Friday, and I don't know how long they'll stay, but coming in Friday, going to preach all day Sunday. We also have, on Sunday, the nursing home service at 2, and it's actually supposed to be warm enough to do it, because we're still outside, so, but Sunday's nursing home. Ladies Fellowship is Tuesday, okay? Ladies Fellowship Tuesday. All right. I think those are the announcements. I think that's it. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 10. There's a lot of repetition in Proverbs, and I have tried to figure out, Brother, I don't know if you remember when Brother Cadenhead was here, he and I were talking about it, and trying to, you know, just, there seems like there's a bigger context than just like kind of repetition and saying things over and over again. But I don't know what the bigger context is, or maybe how some things fit together. But anyhow, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 10, I do understand these verses we're going to read. Verses 10 through 19. And I want you to notice in these verses all the descriptions or the words that deal with the path, the way, the steps, all of those things that have to do with a traveling a certain course. And that's really, you'll see it show up over and over here. And the other thing that goes along with this is the fact that instruction is life. Instruction from the Father is life. So Proverbs chapter 4, verse 10, just make a mental note every time you see something that has to do with traveling a certain path or course or steps or way or things like that, because it shows up several times. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:10, "Hear, O my son, receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall be not straitened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, pass away, for they sleep not except they have done mischief. Their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall, for they eat the bread of wickedness, drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness, they know not at what they stumble." Let's pray, and we're going to talk about instruction in the way. Instruction in the way. But let's pray, and then we'll get right into it here. Father, I thank you for these words. I pray that you would eliminate any distractions. I pray that you'd help us focus on what you're saying. I pray that you would fill each of us with your Holy Spirit to through your words and minister these things to our hearts. I thank you for these words. I thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you for a good week last week. Thank you for all the souls that are here this evening. And I pray that it's a blessing from you to be here. And for those that may be sick or just can't make it and watching, I pray that they get the help that they need. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, instruction in the way. The first few verses here, the Solomon, as the father here, he basically encourages and tells his son to listen to him, and tells him he's taught him, hear, O my son, receive my sayings, the years of thy life shall be many. So life is associated with the instruction of the father. And I thought about doing something on that, but didn't. But you probably could. That life is associated with instruction. That shows up multiple times in this chapter as well. Then there's a little note that I just want to pass on to you in verse 11. He says, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. So there's a couple things about passing on information. One of them is you can pass on information through teaching, as far as just speaking something. The other aspect of it in verse 11 is leadership. It's actually leading, and that means maybe taking someone by the hand and showing them what this thing looks like. And sometimes just telling them to do something isn't enough. People have to be shown what you mean by what you're talking about. And anyhow, there's something to that. I thought about talking about some of that stuff, but that's not really the whole point of all of this. But it's in there. And then he talks about the value again of instruction in verse 12 and 13. And then he actually gives the instruction. And this is where the meat of it comes in verse 14, where he actually gives the instruction. And the instruction really boils down to this: avoid evil company. That's the basic instruction here. And here's why he says something like this. There's several reasons, but I think in general to get us going here, we think more highly of ourselves than we actually ought to. And I think we think we are less influenced by things than we really are. And so putting yourself in a position around evil communication or wickedness, I get it, you got to work. I understand all that stuff, but voluntarily putting yourself in a position where you're going to be influenced by bad ideas and bad friendships and things like that, you'll be influenced. You'll be affected by it. There's just no way around all that. And so when Solomon passes this on, he gives five things, and I mean, you could just go into all of these, and but it amounts to verse 14: enter not into the path of the wicked, go not in the way of evil men, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. I mean, that's about as far and as clear a commandment, an instruction as you can get. It's just if you see it, go away from it. Don't follow any of these people. If you see an opportunity there, stay away from it. And so he gives several descriptions of how to stay away from evil company. And so I know the question comes up in something like this. When you say you need to stay away from certain people, you just got to stay away from certain people. Otherwise, you're going to end up in the same mess they're in. And then inevitably somebody's going to spiritualize it and say, well, what about the gospel? What about preaching the gospel to them? Well, Paul, let me just give you some instruction from what Paul said, who is a preacher of the gospel, who went to jail for the gospel. He said, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. That's a preacher of the gospel. So he understands there's a time to preach the gospel, but as far as fellowshipping with wickedness, there's no way to, you can't do that. That's not going to be, it's not going to be obviously helpful. In fact, it's going to be harmful. I'll give you a couple illustrations here. It takes one bad apple to ruin the spirit, to ruin the work of God. It just takes one rotten, bitter spirit to hurt someone's zeal for the Lord. I mean, some of y'all inevitably just pay attention to how the devil works. If you got anything out of last week and you're kind of on fire and stuff like that, and you're just, I mean, it's just doors are open and stuff like that, pay attention, because the devil is right there. He is right there with an opportunity, and it doesn't take much. It doesn't take two or three or four bad apples. It takes one thing to get in the mix, and it will ruin a zeal for evangelism. It will ruin a good spirit. It will ruin your joy. All that. I've had a few, I mean, even in the last couple days, I would say, in the last couple days, I've had a couple calls. I've talked to a couple folks, and I mean, you can just see how, man, I'm on cloud nine. I'm so joyous. I'm so happy for what the Lord's doing. And then something got introduced in your life, and it just deflated the whole thing. And it was somebody, and all they had to do was just introduce a thought. Just put a thought out there. And I mean, you couldn't get that thought out of your head now. Now that thought has ruined the joy, ruined the peace, ruined that stuff. And what I'm saying is, it doesn't take three or four or five different bad apples. It just takes one thing to ruin, to quench the work of the Holy Spirit of God. And it's not because the Holy Spirit's weak, it's because we're weak. It's because we are frail people. And so it's not that God can't handle the devil or God can't handle devilish things. It's that you and I are just dust. And I mean, we are so feeble and frail. And so when Solomon passes this on to his son, he says, look, you cannot give yourself an opportunity around wickedness, because you are going to go down that road. You are going to end up like the people you are around. I can't remember what grade I was in. It was before high school, and some of these kids I knew were getting ready to, they were having a party. It's like seventh grade or something, and they were going to have a party, and they invited me, and I, you know, the parents weren't going to be there. I mean, you know what goes on in that stuff. And so I remember my parents, I think my dad was out of town, but my mom was saying, she's like, you're not going to that. You're not going over there. There's no parents over there. You're not going to go hang out with these people. And I was so mad. I was just so mad. Like, what are you talking about? These people are good. They're my friends. And I was so mad. And then come to find out, everybody got drunk. Everybody, I mean, it was just a mess. And it's like, I should listen to somebody who's probably been down that road before. And they've already been introduced, and invited, and they've already maybe attended or said no, but they've already been down that road before, and that it can just see around the corner a little bit more than I can see. And so whenever they give me advice, they've already been around that corner and they know what's around it. And so it's like Solomon telling his son, or daughter, Solomon telling his children, look, I'm a little bit older, I've experienced these things, so just take some advice from me and listen. I have already been down this road. I've already done these things. And so what I'm about to tell you is going to prevent a lot of trouble. And what I'm going to tell you is going to keep you out of a lot of danger. And so verse 14, enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Pass away. I mean, it's just over and over describing ways to keep away from this trouble. And so this bad company is it's to be avoided, but look how bad it gets. Look how bad it gets. And there is some good stuff in this. I'll get to the good stuff, but I just like you got to deal with the bad stuff. He says in verse 16, for they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. I mean, you gotta be, I don't know, man. You gotta be pretty ruthless to not be able to get rest until you've hurt somebody. I mean, yeah, that's pretty. If that's your pill. If that's the thing that gives you peace, that's no good. That's pretty bad. So these wicked souls, they can't sleep until they're drunk. They can't sleep till they're drunk. They can't sleep till they've committed adultery. They can't sleep till they've lied about somebody else. They can't sleep till they've stolen something. They can't sleep till they've hurt somebody, till they've gossiped about somebody, and that gossip gives them a little bit of encouragement in their own lives or whatever it is. But you get the idea. They can't sleep unless they've committed some sort of sin that hurts other people. So even their rest is evil. I mean, how bad do you have to be to get to that point? But we're all capable of that. I don't want to sound like that's like out of you for all us church going folks. You know, we're just church going. We don't do that stuff. You know, that's all them. No. We have flesh. You understand it. Your flesh loves this stuff. Your flesh wants to do everything in Galatians chapter 5, all the works of the flesh, that's what your flesh wants to do. And when you got saved, your flesh didn't get saved. It still has all that stuff. So their rest is evil. They can't even rest unless they've done some mischief, unless they've caused someone to be hurt, to fall. There's no rest there. Now you kind of understand why Solomon says you don't need to be around this. You need to stay away from this stuff. And here's the next one. I'll move on here. But here's the next one. Then he says, verse 17, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. So their whole they feed on wickedness. This is feeding on wickedness. This is a regular diet of evil. And it makes me think, what a contrast. I mean, what a contrast. You've got Jesus Christ who walks around and says, my meat is to do the will of my Father. That's my diet. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's my diet. That's how I get satisfaction. That's how I'm fulfilled. Jesus Christ said it. He said, my meat is to do the will of my Father. Contrast that with this. Their meat is, and their bread is the bread of wickedness. They drink the wine of violence. So it's like, here's Jesus Christ as the only begotten Son of God. His meat is to do the will of the Father. Versus this. this company where their meat is to do the will of their father. Remember that John chapter 8, 44, you do always the will of your father, the lust of the flesh, all that kind of stuff. It's the diet. It's the thing that brings satisfaction, that gives fulfillment. It's the everyday consumption of wickedness and violence. And so it's the word that's associated with all of this, the word that's associated with this, this meat to do wickedness and violence and they sleep not except they've done some mischief. The word that's associated with this is not in the Bible, but the word is fun. Let's go have some fun. Let's go have some fun. And you know what fun is? In fact, the Bible doesn't use the word fun. It doesn't show up in the Bible. The Bible uses the word play. In 1 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 10, he talks about when Moses was up on the mountain, Israel had created these golden calves, and they're dancing around, and they're not clothed, and they're partying. And the Bible says they ate, and they drank, and they rose up to do what? To play. It's games. You know what sin is right now? Sin is games to people. It's a game. It's fun. Let's go have some fun. Oh man, you don't want to have any fun with us? You want to have any fun? What happened? You're a churchgoer now. Now you don't want to have fun. No. I don't want to be a part of wickedness now. I don't want to be a part of evil now. That's not fun. The word is play or fun. They rose up to play. So Solomon, avoid this evil company like the plague. It's that you and I are more influential than we think we are. You're not going to go in and change that crowd. They'll change you is what they'll do. So Solomon says, avoid, enter not into the path of the wicked, go not in the way of evil men, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. In fact, I'll give you the alternative to this. This is why the Lord Jesus Christ set up gatherings like this, so that believers could get together and fellowship and enjoy their lives and separate from the world a little bit and have some rest and have some refreshing. So that's what this is. That's what a congregation is, what a local church is. So it's avoid this. Participate in this. He says it in Hebrews. Forsake not the assembling together of yourselves, as is the manner of some, but all the more as you see the day approaching, get together. Then, so you get the idea. Avoid evil company. That's the thought. That's the instruction that he said. Listen to my instruction. Here it is. Here's the instruction. Here it is. I'm going to tell you, avoid this evil company. Then, verse 18, here's the positive part. But the path of the just. So you got the path of the wicked. Now here's the path of the just. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more under the perfect day. That's so true. It's like the sun coming up and you see more of it and the morning and you know the dark turns to light and it's just like a picture of Jesus Christ, the return of Jesus Christ. All of those things could be applied here. But the path of the just as shining light. That's why the Bible's talked about as thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Jesus Christ is the light of the world that lighteth every man. It's light. And that light, God's light, God is light in the Bible. 1 John talks about God is light. In him is no darkness. James says that. And not only, I would say this, I mean, the path, the way, the path of the just, that's light, it's marked by all these spiritual qualities like joy, love, joy, peace, long suffering. That's the light that marks the path of the just. Love, joy, peace, long suffering. You got a list of them over there in Galatians 5. And the nature of, you think about it, the nature of light is that it overpowers the darkness. It must be blocked out. You gotta hide it in some way. Otherwise, it dispels darkness. And its nature is to reveal. That's what light is. The nature of it is to reveal things. You know, as the sun comes up, you see more and more. You're able to see more and more. That's just the nature of light. It's revelation. It's the ability to discern. It's the ability to see what's ahead. It's the ability to make informed decisions about things. Righteousness is a well-lit path, he says. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. So it gets like brighter and brighter. I think Daniel talks about that. Brighter and brighter as the day, as Jesus Christ coming approaches. Brighter and brighter. And or I should say, as the world gets darker and darker, the ones that carry the light seem to shine a little bit brighter and brighter. It doesn't take much. It really doesn't. I remember, and I think I've told you guys this story, to talk about the contrast of light and dark. I remember going out to, you talk about it not taking very much to have a testimony. I remember going out to the rig, you know, when I'd go out to the rigs and people would find out that I don't drink. I just don't do that. I don't need to. I'm not interested in it. I want to be sober. I want to make good decisions. I don't want to find myself in a ditch somewhere and I just, you know, I don't have any need for it. Plus, it's a bad testimony, so I'm not going to do it. So, anyhow, when people would find that out, that was like such a big revelation, because all the guys that worked out on the rigs, that's what they did. That was normal life. It's just normal life. And it was always like, well, why don't you drink? It gives you an opportunity to tell them. But it's kind of funny because they never ask, like, why don't you not eat yogurt or something? It's like why don't you drink? It's as though there was something to that, like there's some morality that is connected to it. Not why don't you like beans or whatever, but why don't you drink? And it's like there is something, and I think people know that, but the point is just that little thing made people wonder what is with this guy. And he doesn't cuss. He doesn't drink. I mean, what's happening here? What is this? But it doesn't take very much when things are pretty dark. It just doesn't take that much to be a light. Just doesn't take that much. So here's righteousness is a well-lit path. Let's see. It's a testimony of those around you. And then back to verse 19. He ends it on this, at least this little section here. He ends it on a little bit of a negative thing. Verse 19 says, The way of the wicked is as darkness. So the path of the just is light, but the way of the wicked is darkness. They know not at what they stumble. That, if anybody's ever done that, like you get up in the middle of the night and you stub your toe and you don't know what in the world you just hit, and you gotta turn on the lights to figure it out. Well, what is in my way? And or you step on a Lego or something. That's horrible. But that's like the path of the wicked. The way of the wicked is as darkness. just don't know what they're stumbling at. They're unaware of the sin that keeps putting them in the same position. It's incredible, the contradiction of sinners and the darkness, and I hope it's not coming across like, you know, that stuff is beyond me or anybody else, but it's just contrasting light and dark and righteousness and wickedness, and the fact that wickedness, it's just a dark path that you don't know where you're going, you don't know what's in front of you, you don't know why you keep tripping, and it's incredible what it does with people's minds. I mean, it's frustrating. I've talked to frustrated people. You keep going back to the same pig pen, and you keep wondering why you're dirty. You keep doing this, and you're frustrated, and you wonder why you keep getting dirty. Well, you keep getting dirty because you keep going to the pig pen. It's just like mind-boggling. Like, I really don't know what's happening with my life. I just don't know. Well, like, probably everyone around you can see what's happening, but the way of the wicked is as darkness. I just can't see. I don't know what I'm tripping on. I don't know what I'm stepping on. It's just a blank. I don't know what's happening. Just unaware of the sin that keeps putting him in the same position. I mean, that stuff gets in families, and I mean, you deal with drugs, and you deal with alcohol, and you deal with people wondering why husband and wife can't get along, and why husband and second wife can't get along, and why second husband and third wife can't get along, and I mean, to go into the bars. I remember distinctly somebody coming in my office and not saved, but wanted some help, and I try to figure out how to work. It's nobody in here, but I they wanted some help. They're not saved, and both getting drunk regularly and partying regularly, and wife or husband, I'll just say wife or husband, staying out all night, and they can't figure out why their marriage is messed up. I mean, I'm like, well, first, you need to get saved, but, you know, going out and getting drunk probably isn't helping your marriage any. When she's showing up at 2 in the morning, or he's showing up at 2 in the morning, and now you're suspicious, probably rightly so, that somebody else is involved in all this. And I mean, you're continuing to go to the pigsty of the bar is not helping your marriage. Your continued drunkenness is not bringing a great fellowship between you and your wife. And I don't understand. I told him I don't understand what you think you're supposed to be getting from the bar. Like, what do you expect to happen? I mean, what do you expect? What do you expect to happen when you're going there to be a drunk? What do you expect to happen when you plan on staying out all night with other members of the opposite sex? What do you expect to happen? How do you expect that there's going to be good out of this? And it's just like mind-blowing. Like, God, I never thought of it that way. I don't know what you're expecting. I don't know what you're looking for. Like, and it just reminds me of this. The way of the wicked is as darkness. Like, it was truly, like, revelatory. Like, I just never thought of that. I don't know. I don't know how you don't think of this. So it's and that stuff goes on, and I mean it's truly it is. It's the way of wickedness. It's darkness, and just yeah, yeah. And but it, I would say it is, and it's also at some point it's a choice. You have chosen this life. You have chosen. You're not interested in the things of God, and you've chosen this, and so it is just the way of wickedness. It's just darkness. It's just I keep stepping on the same things, and I can't figure out what I'm stepping on. I keep getting dirty, and I can't figure out why I keep getting dirty. I keep having these problems with my marriage, and I can't figure out why I keep having these problems. Or how about this? I keep having these problems with fellow believers, and I can't figure out why these fellow believers are such terrible people. Well, maybe the problem isn't with them. Maybe there's something in you. And you keep going back to the pigsty, and you can't figure out why you keep getting dirty. That's Solomon. And it's so good that the illustrations and the descriptions here are so perfect when Solomon passes on this wisdom. And it's just, you couldn't describe this stuff any better. This is the path, this is the way. This is the way of righteousness. This is the path of the just. And here's the way of wickedness. And here's the path of the wicked. And this path is like light. And this path is like darkness. And this path you can see. And this path you don't know what's happening. In this path you have a future. In this path you make good decisions. In this path you can't make good decisions because you don't have any information. It's just instruction in the way. Instruction in the way, the path, the way, the steps, all of that stuff. You see how many times it shows up, and it's a father passing down information to his children, and from somebody who's been around the block before, and they can tell you what's coming up. So you got avoiding evil company. You've got righteousness as a well-lit path. And then in the end, unfortunately, verse 19, it's like the blind leading the blind. Just the way of the wicked is darkness. And that analogy carries through the New Testament. I mean, Jesus Christ over and over will talk about these blind leaders of the blind. They're walking in wickedness. They don't know what they're talking about. There's just darkness and darkness and more darkness. But with the righteous, there's light, and there's a clear path, and thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, and it's instruction. And Solomon says that instruction is life. It's life. Ultimately, eternal life, but it's life. And so that's Proverbs 4 and those verses 10 through 19. So I hope that's helpful. It's such a great, just a great description of very simple principles, and really I hope it's helpful. So let's pray, then we'll take some prayer requests. Father, I pray it's been helpful. I thank you for your words. I thank you for each soul that's here, and I pray that you would help us make the applications that need to be made. And I don't know where evil and wickedness tries to enter in and invite and open doors, and pray be discerning and avoid these things. Just avoid the trouble that goes with all of it. And I thank you again for salvation in Jesus Christ, for eternal life. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.